What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast, Women in Athletic Training, Inc. I have Dr. Katie Breedlove here, and we are working around a schedule change. And Katie, I'm excited that I get to talk to you and learn a little bit more about women in athletic training and figure out why you created the organization, what the heart of it is, where it's headed, and how it's helping women in athletic training as we celebrate National Athletic Training Month and as we celebrate International Women's Day this Friday, because this is being recorded March 6th. So March 8th, 2019 is International Women's Day. So this is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/womeninat. So it's women, the word women, the word IN, and then AT. So women in AT, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/womeninat. All right, Dr. Breedlove, welcome to the show. And why don't you just get us started with your story of becoming an athletic trainer?
Yeah, sure. So thanks for having us on. We're really excited to be able to kind of promote women in the profession this week, especially like you said, Women in International Women's Day is coming up on Fridays is awesome. So I first got involved in athletic training as a high school athlete, freshman year, sprained my ankle. Older person on the team was like, well, you should get it taped. And in my head, the only tape I knew of was like duct tape. I knew nothing about this. So you need to go see the athletic trainer. I had no idea what that went. Spent a huge amount of time with them, with her. I learned a lot, really loved it. Went to college, did my undergrad at BU, worked at Stony Brook for a while, and then went and decided to continue my education, get a master's degree, went on to Purdue. Decided that, you know, I didn't really ever want to leave college, so I should just keep getting degrees, not graduate, and now I have a PhD and I'm at the University of Michigan.
All right. We had a guy like that in, I think he was like 30 years old and still like a full-time student, old Dave McAllister. But yeah. I think he was just, you know, living the college life dream. So, yeah. All right. So tell me about Women in AT Incorporated.
Yeah, sure. So this isn't my brainchild at all. It's the brainchild of Mija Kinsley, who was a former student of mine at Purdue. We kind of reconnected for a while when I was out at the University of Delaware. And she was really the driving force behind all of this. She's like, you know, women need a space to just have kind of like share ideas and bounce off of it. And it was kind of a, you know, a lot of people are alone, especially if they're new grads and they're going out and working at a high school. You may not have the mentorship that you're used to in your undergraduate education around anymore. You're kind of in this really scary phase of you went from being watched and had your classmates and your preceptors around to now you're on your own and doing your thing. And then a lot of times, you know, we had anecdotally, we get together, we have these stories about just those little bit of additional challenges of being a female, especially in a male-dominated sport like a football or wrestling or something like that. And it was Mija's idea that we should create a space where people can kind of bounce ideas off of each other, share some stories, kind of like be supportive of each other. And so we thought Facebook is a great platform for this. So we kind of started a Facebook group and it grew extremely rapidly. And then there was some interest in making physical get-togethers. And in order to enable that, we need some money. We wanted to do this correctly. So we incorporated so we could have a corporate account. And we had our first get together last year in New Orleans, and it was phenomenally well attended. It was great. A lot of people came, met new people, made new friends, got to share stories. And that's kind of what we're about, kind of facilitating a lot of that natural interaction that people really need.
So it started out of a need and a desire for mentorship in a safe place. Is that right?
Yeah, pretty much. So not to get too academically, I know it's kind of what I do, so I have to rein it back in a little bit. But, you know, we know that especially for people in underrepresented populations, mentorship or seeing someone like you in a field that's high achieving is a really great way for people to kind of see themselves in that role and be a motivator and kind of guide them. And not to say that there are not women in athletic training who are mentors. There are a lot of women who are mentors. We just wanted to make that accessible to a lot more people.
Gotcha. All right. So you created the Inc. so that it could be so that you could have money in a bank account, like as a business. But tell me, how does the incorporated part work of women in AT?
So the incorporated part just kind of allows us to have some corporate, really a corporate bank account. So we don't have any interaction with our own personal finances along with the finances for the group. So anything that comes to the group stays in its own bank account, and it usually goes back in the form of, like I said, we hosted the New Orleans meeting. You know, we rented the space, got some food, that sort of stuff. T-shirt sales. Our future goal, once we all kind of have some free time once the season ends, is reevaluating where we are. Grand plans were funding grants. We see a lot of posts. You know, we do read the posts that come through. So a lot of the posts that came through were ones of like, hey, I'd really like to take this class, but I'm at my high school and they can't fund me to do this dry needling or this other technique. And we'd want to really start giving back and saying, okay, well, we'll give you some money here if we can. If you want to apply, you can get some grants, promoting other women in that way.
All right. Some of the questions that I ask may be, I guess, like I, in the podcast yesterday when I was talking with Tanya, like I don't want to, again, the popular term is mansplain or whatever it is right now. But, you know, as a man, I don't fully understand what it's like being a woman in athletic training. And, you know, as we kind of discussed, like 55% of athletic training is female. But mm-hmm. I think all the leadership is still majority male, right? And so just discuss a little bit more of the need or the benefit to having this closed Facebook group for women.
Sure. So, well, first off, I think a lot of the membership in NATA and even regional organizations is slowly changing. You know, we have had female athletic training presidents. We have people who are district directors who are female. So, you know, that culture is slowly changing, which is a good thing. The reason why the Facebook group is kind of closed is one of the things that women often face, unfortunately, is a lot of what would possibly defined as like sexual assault kind of things, not necessarily like really bad stuff, but a lot of like comments or actions or kind of more subversive things that kind of happen in the workplace. And people can have really strong feelings about how comfortable they are sharing that, especially in a social media platform where by definition, everybody can kind of see it. So we've kind of closed down the group just so to facilitate people having those discussions with each other.
Interesting, you know, because I feel like we're at a time to where everybody feels like everything needs to be open. You know, there's no segregation or no separation. But like I personally feel that's important. You know, at my church, we're going to have like a men's breakfast, and it's a time for men to get together and kind of spend time and grow together, because men do things in general different than women do. And so without obviously revealing any names or anything like that, but tell me just some of the conversations or some of the growth that you've seen inside of that group.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, and I think your point's right. Like there's a lot of aspects of athletic training that regardless of your gender, they're universal experiences in athletic training, but then there's also ones that are kind of not only for women, but maybe, you know, there's all kinds of little groups and buckets you can put people in, and they all kind of help, maybe not help, they all frame the experience you have in your profession. So it's kind of nice when you have someone who's kind of like you that you can talk to stuff with, kind of like you're saying your men's group at church, right? Like that's a really great and powerful thing. So let's see, someone recently had posted and it kind of became a conversation about what has somebody said to you that has been kind of demeaning, not as just a female, but as an athletic trainer even, you know, especially with National Athletic Trainer Month and ATs or healthcare and really promoting ourselves. Like, what are things you've heard people say, and then how have you responded? And it's been a really great dialogue on the site about people who are saying like, yeah, you know, someone said this to me once and this is how I responded. And people are like, yeah, that's a great way to handle that. I never thought of that. Or that's a great way to promote, or that's an opportunity. I want to do that here. There's a great sharing of resources. Like, oh, I want to do something for National Athletic Training Month. I've got this space at my school, or I've got this opportunity to go to the faculty meeting or this meeting or talk to the coaches. What do you guys think about doing this? Or is there a better idea? Right. So it's kind of one of those things. Everybody's always stronger if you play off of everybody's strengths as a group. So That's been great. We've had some people share some stories that we've kind of pushed them to utilize the new AT Care initiative that's been putting on for the NATA, or that just kind of that emotional support, because they've had either something in their personal or in their work lives that has been struggling for them or been very difficult. And then again, I said a lot of people, especially the younger, we've seen a lot of younger members who are alone at a school for the first time to say, hey, you know, my coach or a parent said this to me and it kind of rubbed me the wrong way. I don't know if this is even something I should be upset about. I just want to talk to someone who's a female and maybe had situation and has experience with this. And how do I handle this in a professional way and actually create growth out of it instead of just like being angry about it?
Okay. So just you as a person, again, not people in the group, but have you had a situation where you've maybe posted on a open Facebook group or something like that saying, how do I do this? And you've experienced male athletic trainers like demeaning or belittling you?
Yeah, I mean, so it wasn't so much a social media post as much as a conversation I had with some colleagues once. It was, I made some comment about I had to go shopping and I ended up buying khaki pants from the men's department because the women's khaki pants had the back pockets weren't real pockets and the front pockets were about an inch deep. And how can I put anything in those pockets? It's not real. So yeah, I had to go to the men's department at Old Navy and buy these khaki pants for this game at the last minute. And they were like, well, I don't understand why this is an issue. You know, like I don't carry my scissors in my back pockets. I just put them in my belt loop. Can't you do that too? And I'm like, well, yeah, you're right. That's a great thing that you can just put your scissors in your back belt loop. But I really, really like some pockets in my pants. And it's unfortunate I have to go to this other store and in a department that's not even meant for me. That they don't even fit, you know, they don't fit me well, they're men's pants, and just have pockets to kind of do my job. Cause I want to keep gauze and gloves in my pocket on the sideline or any sort of other first aid things. You know, so it's kind of, it's just different perspectives. You know, I think they just forget that, you know, most men's pants have always had really nice pockets. You kind of forget that when you don't have them, it's kind of an annoyance.
Yeah. Until I've seen that on Facebook or something like that, I would have never thought, because all my pants, all my shorts that have pockets have real pockets. None of them are fake pockets. So,
yeah. You know, it's like, it's, I don't think it's coming out of any sort of maliciousness. It's just, you know, people have different experiences. And if you don't stop and think about it, you might not realize it.
Yeah. I think that's one of the great things about the podcast is I've learned quite a lot just about different people, different situations, because I've, you know, talked to people all around the world. And you get to hear their stories, their situations. And it's taken me a lot of time as a person to grow into understanding rather than just expecting people to be like me. Understanding people are all sorts of different situations and stories. All right. You mentioned that, you know, at the end of the season, you guys are going to kind of take a look at women in athletic training and see where you're headed. Where do you feel like right now that women in athletic training is headed?
You know, right now it's the time of the year everybody think is just kind of keeping their head above the water. You know, winter sports are ending, spring sports are picking up again. Everybody's been super busy. We're hoping to kind of evaluate among our leadership, who's going to be available in Las Vegas? Can we find a venue in Las Vegas to repeat another meeting? If not, what can we do? If we can't find a venue, we kind of want to get people together again in Las Vegas, because that we had such positive feedback from that event that I think that was a really good thing. And if not from there, what can we do? Do we want to do something on a state-to-state basis? And like I said, we also need to revisit the idea of like, we kind of want to provide some financial support to people in our membership for things that they want to do, and kind of support women that way. Either, you know, our initial charter, when we, I learned a lot about business when I did this. I've never had any experience with business, but when you set up an incorporation, you have a charter where you have to state what your goals are. One of our goals was providing support for women, you know, in any way possible. And we want to continue to do that with grants if we can. We just really need to sit down and reassess where we're going and see where this is going. We definitely want to keep the Facebook group going. There's a lot of interest in that.
All right. What feedback have you received internally from women in athletic training? Obviously, I think there's like 7,000 members of the group, something like that. So obviously people are joining, but what is some of the feedback you received?
A lot of it's been positive. Every once in a while, you know, I don't spend a ton of time on Facebook, but when I do always kind of try to go through the posts. Just, we also do have guidelines for what is an acceptable or unacceptable post. We don't want to promote being a lot of negative or attacking, and kind of want to promote discussion as opposed to just like going out and lambasting something. So we do some of that. There's been a lot of posts of like, hey, you know, it's really awesome that we have this to share. I'm a part of other groups, and it's nice to kind of have this closed space where I can feel safe sharing to other people. You know, some feedback, you know, not everybody's, can't make everyone happy. You know, we've had some, a lot of people have said that they want different things out of the group. So we try to take that into consideration and try to moderate things as we can. Some people want to keep it a little bit more professional. Some people keep it more lighthearted with funny posts every once in a while. In general, I think the biggest feedback that we need to figure out as a group how to manage fairly and effectively is that there is so much content coming through that the biggest feedback we've had is just people's Facebook news feeds are just overwhelmed with posts from women in athletic training, just because there's so much interaction with our membership. And I'm not really sure how we're going to handle that yet, because, like I said, in a fair and effective way within the confines of what Facebook allows you to do. So, but I think that would be the one feedback we've gotten is just, it's overwhelming.
All right, so what about externally? Have people on the outside said one thing good or bad?
You know, I think there's been a lot of positive external feedback for this kind of, you know, like, this is a great thing. It's great that you're doing it. You know, really, this is a membership driven thing. Like I said, Mija started the Facebook page. We kind of moderate it. I've got a bot that goes through and make sure there's not those Facebook spammers coming in just to post a million posts about something they want to sell. But really, it's kind of a membership driven thing. It's people put in what they want to get out of it. So I think there hasn't been a ton of external, because we just really don't have an external space yet. You know, and I'm sure there's people that think this is a good idea and people that think it's a bad idea. But yeah.
So I got to know, have you had any men try to join?
We've had men try to join, but I don't think, you know, I think it's kind of falling into that Facebook spam bots again. You know, they're from Nigeria or something. I think they know what they're trying to join.
Gotcha.
We've had a couple where we've had couples that share a membership. We've accidentally kicked them out, you know, because it's under the husband's name.
Yeah.
And they come back and say, oh, no, it's Randy and Jennifer so-and-so, or, you know, something like that. We let them in. But I can't think of any off the top of my head.
Gotcha. All right. As we, again, are celebrating, I think it's National Women's Month. I know I see Alicia Pennington posting a lot of stuff like National Women's Month, and I don't want to say something like that incorrectly, but I know Friday is International Women's Day. So tell me about some of the mentors or women that have highly impacted your life and your career.
Oh, sure. There's, you know, like I said, having a female mentor as a woman was really an awesome thing. So the first one I can really point to was the high school athletic trainer I had, Kalena Amahala. She was phenomenal. I still keep in touch with her today. She really instilled in me this kind of drive to just be excellent at all times, and a really love of the profession and a love of helping people. So she's been really awesome. When I was in college at BU, Maria Hudsick was our head athletic trainer. And Maria had been around forever, one of the first female head athletic trainers in Division I. You know, Maria's motto was kind of kicking butt and taking names. And she would, you know, roll up her sleeves and kind of barrel in there with all the guys, and was a real role model in just how do you, you know, it's okay to go in there and kind of dish it out with the guys, and how you go in and as a girl just kind of do your job, and how you do your job well, and let the success speak for itself. You know, externally, when I was going through school, the Steelers had hired Ariko Iso, and that was phenomenal, just seeing a female in a pro sports role and the excellence in which she did her job and how everybody really respected what she did. That was a great role model as well. And then, you know, Sonia following up with her again at the Steelers, and then the initiative from PFATS to get more women in the NFL. That's just been a phenomenal experience for all of them. I know a lot of the students that I've mentored, the female students, have really looked up to, you know, they've got people at the 49ers and Los Angeles and Kansas City now. It's not like you have to go to Pittsburgh to work in the NFL. It's really growing, and that's a really awesome thing. And then in baseball, you know, I'm a big football fan, so I think that way. But, you know, baseball and basketball, it's just been all over the board, you know, just kind of doing – there's a lot of women out there that you can see that are excellent at their jobs. They know their stuff. They conduct themselves very professionally, and that's a great mentor.
All right, so if – a woman is wanting to join the Women in AT group, what's going to be the best way to do that? And then what words of, I guess, wisdom and then caution would you say to somebody who's going to join that group?
Sure. So, I mean, if you want to join the group, you just send a Facebook, you just ask to join. You'll get an automatic response for questions. I think one of them is like kind of stating your role in athletic training. What do you want to get out of the group? What do you want to provide to the group? The first question is definitely a screening form. Some people don't want to provide their BOC number or any sort of other identifier number. That's fine. Just state like confirming to my bot that, yes, I am an athletic trainer. This isn't, like I said, the first question is mostly just to rule out the people that are just trying to get into the group so they can spam with whatever they're selling. And then the next two, we kind of have a database where I kind of take all that information and compile it into see like what our membership wants out of the group and what they want to provide. And that goes into our discussions about where we want to go. We have a lot of data from surveys we've done that we need to sit down, like I said, at the end of the year and kind of decide what the group wants to do. That's pretty much it. You just ask to join and answer the questions. Like I said, if people don't always like to answer the questions, that's fine. Just indicate to me that you are an athletic trainer and you're a female and you're in. It's not super hard.
All right. And then, where was it? Let me see. As a female, right, you're Dr. Katie Breedlove. You're working at you've been at universities. You've got lots of credentials. Is there anything that you, as a female AT, would like to say to your male counterparts?
A lot of people I work with are really awesome. You know, I think, and tell me if you're wrong, but I think a lot of people would take that question as like, what kind of beef do you have with the guys? And I don't really buy into this argument that women are over here and men are over here and we're in two different camps and, you know, we're kind of going to throw stones at each other, for lack of a better word. You know, it's just, it's kind of the golden rule, treat everybody with respect, and kind of coming back to the pocket thing before, you know, just kind of listen, you know, it goes both ways for women too. I'm sure there are things that we don't think of that you guys go through that we have no idea what that's like, and just keep an open mind and kind of listen to your other person and give them some respect. But that goes across to everybody, right? Like that should be everyone, regardless of it's a patient or a coach or your boss or male or female. So
yeah, again, like with your group, with Women in AT, they're, again, 7,000 members. You do get women who are athletic trainers, but you get women who are athletic trainers in the college and the clinical and the industrial and the high school, and the high school where there's four athletic trainers, where you're the only athletic trainer and you're teaching full time. And so I'm assuming that's what the population is. I'm not in there, so I don't know. But you get to see all those different perspectives in that same safe and closed group, so you can understand somebody else's struggle that's in a similar situation. Just like you said, you know, we're athletic trainers. I wear khaki pants. I can stick gloves and gauze in my back pocket and then leave my kid on the sidelines and then I'm good to go. But you can't do that, right? And so I really appreciate those groups of athletic trainers. Again, the closed-minded group. I'm in the secondary school, in the Innovate AT and a couple others, but I feel like it's beneficial. You know, I feel like our conversation isn't just like, hey, we need to make women better than men. It's just, here's a safe place for women to grow. And so again, if you're a woman in athletic training and you feel like you need that safe place, and like Katie said, if maybe you have some questions about some sexual assault or harassment type situations and don't have a, you obviously don't want to post that publicly on Facebook or Twitter or something like that, but if you want to post it inside of there and just get some feedback, then that's a really good safe place, because that's something that, you know, we're learning a lot about as well, as a population. So
yeah. And then I think another plug we could put in, there's a lot of moms, you know, I'm not a mother, but there's a lot of moms in our group, and they're like, hey, how do I deal with X, Y, and Z with my 6 month old and I'm going back to work, or my 1 year old? I know there's a ton of posts on there about that, and a lot of cool ideas that people have had about how to incorporate work-life balance as a mom and an athletic trainer.
So real quick, I know Brendan Moriarty joined, and he said he's proud of what you guys are doing. It's great for you guys to build the relationships and bond. Kelly Stutes joined, watching live. And then Nicole Wilkins, she said she's watching live and sorry she couldn't make it into the conversation. So, all right. I'm going to ask you for any final thoughts or words, but I'm going to give you a second to think about that. So, for all the listeners, you can check out, if you're not going to NATA and you're not going to meet me there at the podcast lounge to get your CEUs, then check out MedBridge and use the code THESMB, and then that'll give you a discount. There's lots of other ones if you don't want to use mine. I know like there's one for North Carolina and who knows what other else ones are, but you can use that and it'll get you a discount. And also for me, it'll enter you into a drawing for a free second year. So all right, Dr. Breedlove, final thoughts, words of wisdom, or just how to contact you?
Yeah, sure. So actually I posted on the Women in AT page right when I knew we were going to come on, and I asked membership kind of like, what are your guys' thoughts? You know, I don't want to just talk about myself. This is, like I said, a member-driven group. So Kelsey Dill posted, and I think it was really, really good. She said, you know, the best part about this is it's a sense of community and being able to share our unique perspectives and experiences with a group of people who are coming from similar backgrounds and life experiences, but we're also all very different and have unique paths to let us where we are today. An engagement with other women and be able to relate and get affirmation of our experiences as women in what is historically a male-dominated field is a terrific opportunity. And I think that pretty much sums up what we want, right? Like, we're all different, but yet we're all going through this together, and we can kind of do it better if we're together.
Very good. Somebody wants to get a hold of you. All right, you already said Women in AT. You can just Facebook search it, and it'll come up there. And then you just have to fill out the questionnaire, request to join, those kind of things. But somebody wants to get a hold of you specifically?
Yeah, sure. So my work email is KM, as in mouse, BREEDL at umich.edu.
All right. So if you want to get a hold of Katie Breedlove, you can email her again. I'll have her email in the show notes at sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/women-INAT. So women in AT. Again, talking with Dr. Katie Breedlove about women in athletic training. I can't close it out without thinking Dragonfly Max. They're going to be hosting the podcast lounge there at NATA. And Katie, are you going to be at NATA?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because I know you said you were going to try and find a space for women in AT. So I would, you know, like to shake your hand, say hi or something like that. So if you get a chance while you're in the, what is it called? Convention hall, the expo hall, you know, try and find me.
Will do. Absolutely.
Myotech, I'm actually talking with them later today. They just signed on as a sponsor there. Hoist Hydration, you can use the code DSMB for a special deal. And then Frio Hydration, signed the exclusive sponsorship. So we're going to be getting some cool new gear there. Again, this is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/women-INAT, Dr. Katie Breedlove and Jeremy Jackson, and that is a wrap. Thanks.